It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Dean Borg passed away this week at the age of 81. Dean was a broadcasting legend here in the state of Iowa. He's best known for his work as host of Iowa Press on Iowa PBS, a position he held for more than 40 years. During that time, he interviewed every president from John F. Kennedy to Barack Obama. He also spent 20 years working as a correspondent here at Iowa Public Radio, but his career was much broader than those two organizations. He grew up in Forest City. He studied journalism at Iowa State University. He served in the Air Force, rising to the rank of lieutenant colonel. He was a reporter and then news director at WMT Radio and Television in Cedar Rapids. In 1973, he became director of public information for the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics, a role he filled for many decades. And in spite of his very full work life, he was also a dedicated volunteer involved in many organizations and his community of Mount Vernon. But if you knew Dean, you quickly came to learn that he was proudest of all of his family. He leaves behind five children, four sons and a daughter, 10 grandchildren, and his beloved wife, Sheila. This hour, we'll hear from family, colleagues, and friends about the man they knew. We also want to hear from you. Dean knew everybody. Share your memories at talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. We'll try to get to some calls as well. 866-780-9100 is the number. Let's start the hour with Dean himself. In 2017, when he retired as host of Iowa Press, he received the prestigious Silver Circle honor from the Upper Midwest Emmy Organization. He received that honor with his typical humility and gratitude. Let's listen to just part of his speech.
I was astonished and stunned, actually, when I was invited to be here tonight. That's because my career really hasn't been one grand plan. In fact, serendipity, perhaps, better describes it, but isn't that the nature of news? Stories that I've considered worth telling and letting the audio and video doing the communicating over the years just, you know, seem to present themselves. And thankfully, I have a family that tolerates what it takes to have Dad be where the news is. As a political journalist, one of the greatest compliments that I receive is when people tell me, "We can't tell where you stand, which side you're on." And I respond, "Good. I'm doing my job right."
That's the voice of Dean Borg. And to start off our remembrances today, one of Dean's sons is here. Lindsay Borg is with us. Hello, Lindsay.
Good morning, Charity.
Thank you so much for being here. And we're so sorry for your family's loss.
Well, thank you so much, and thanks for dedicating this hour to him. It means a lot to all of us.
Well, and we're all going to wish we had far more than an hour to talk about your incredible father. Let's talk a little bit about who he was as a dad and as a man. I know that as you were growing up and even as an adult, he had a characteristic way of sending you off into the world, you and your siblings. Would you tell us about that?
Well, sure. He had just a standard advice that really has guided us in many ways through the years. It was a little bit puzzling in the beginning. As a young boy or then as a teenager, when you would squeeze my shoulder and say, "Remember who you are." And that was something that required some deep thought. At one point, I thought he meant, and he probably did mean this, "Hey, don't go out and do something foolish. Make good choices." But what he really was meaning, even in that, I think, is that you represent more than yourself. You represent this family, you represent this community, and all of those, just like all over Iowa, I think, all of those are pouring into you. So don't make a foolish decision, and also don't think that your actions have to stop with you. You can do more for other people as well.
That must have felt a little heavy at times when you were going to a football game or out on a date, but it sounds very much like how he lived his life.
Absolutely. You know, I've thought about as I've gotten older, those words, "Remember who you are." And as I think about him, he was multifaceted, just like many of us are, most of us, I guess. We have different roles that we play. Different priorities that we set in life, and he certainly did. He you know, he grew up on a farm in Forest City, as you mentioned at the beginning of this. It's a 120-acre farm that then grew a family that has gone global. And he never forgot those roots and the way that the community around him poured into him. In fact, you mentioned that he went to Iowa State, and the reason he went is because the teacher took special interest and took the initiative to reach out to Iowa State. And as Dad told the story, he didn't even know that he had applied to Iowa State. The teacher told him, "Dean, you're going, L. Dean, actually, you're going to Iowa State." So, remembering who you are and the different things that that really make up a person, and Dad had many of those facets.
You followed his footsteps into the Air Force, and becoming part of the Air Force, you really realized that a lot of the values that he helped instill in you are values shared with the Air Force. Tell me more about that realization.
Yeah, sure. I went into the Air Force through Iowa State ROTC and encountered the Air Force core values then as integrity first, service before self, and excellence in all we do. And I thought, well, this isn't anything new. This is my dad, and this is how he's raised us. And, I saw those things, integrity and service before self. He was just really a selfless person in all aspects of life. And then excellence. I mean, he never left something done halfway. One of the things that stands out to me, especially this week, is as we really say goodbye to him formally, is Tate Cummins, who was a commentator at WMT, was a good friend of Dad's. And this was, he passed away after Dad had moved on to the University of Iowa Hospitals and clinics in his role there. But Dad knew that despite that he wanted himself to be at Tate's funeral, that everyone else who were his current colleagues would want to be there. And so Dad went and ran the station so that everyone else could go and remember Tate at his funeral. And I just think that speaks volumes about Dad, you know, that he always was thinking of other people.
As I mentioned, he was so proud of you and your brothers and your sister. And he was also such a busy man. He worked so much and had such a full career, really two careers at the same time for a long time. But your mother passed away in 1973, so he was also a single dad for a while. Tell us about your dad as a dad when you were growing up. What was he like?
Yeah, well, he was like what I was just talking about. He was involved in so many things, and yet he somehow found the time to pour into other people as well. He was a 4-H leader. He was a Sunday school teacher. Many Sundays, in fact, when Iowa Press was on Sunday, he would teach Sunday school on Sunday morning and then throw one or two of us in the car and we'd drive over to Des Moines and he would host Iowa Press. In the house, it was a little bit unique sometimes, and in just kind of keeping order, I think he drew on his Air Force background. He was a letterman at Iowa State, a half miler, and continued to run really until just a couple of weeks ago. He was still continuing a morning workout. But on those days, he would come back in from running the gravel roads on outside our acreage there in the Mount Vernon area. And he would announce his reentry to the house, wake us all up, and the shower would turn on. The expectation was that the shower wasn't going to turn off until all of us were through. And we were expected to be, let's just say, shower ready, standing in line. Dad would step out one side of the shower curtain and one of us boys would step in the other. And pretty much, it was pretty close to the time that Dad was done drying off. We were expected to all be through the shower, so there was no time wasted.
So in that little bit of a speech that we just heard, your dad talked about how important it was that he always seemed fair and unbiased. And he did that so well through his entire career, and he lived that 100%. And when you were in college, you worked on a political campaign and came home with a bumper sticker, right? How did
that's
he react
right.
to that?
Well, that's I came home with the sticker on my car, and he promptly told me that car wasn't going to be parked in front of the house. And his thought process there was, he didn't want anyone to misinterpret his objectivity, his impartiality toward candidates for the political spectrum. And so that car went around to another parking spot.
So in some ways, your dad almost sounds too good to be true, but anybody who knew him would quickly realize that he was who he was, and he was on face value as thoughtful and dedicated and had that kind of integrity that we would have imagined that he had. But he was also really warm. He was so kind, and he was also hilarious. So we only have about a minute left here, Lindsay, before we need to move on to some other people who want to remember your dad. But how do you want people to remember him?
Yeah, I want Dad to be remembered for the professional that he was, and I think that's being well documented this week. I want people to remember him for the way that that he engaged others and was always seemed ready to hear a person's story, and he always seemed to appreciate the person in the moment. And you know, so many people have shared this week that they always felt like they were the most important thing happening at that moment. And they were, because that was how Dad was. And I want him to be remembered as someone who deeply cared about his family, his community, and his world. In fact, one of the last pieces of advice he gave us was pay attention. And what he meant by that was pay attention to what's happening in the world, and don't be a passive observer. You know, there are people around you. There's a community around. There's a world around you. And don't sit back and just watch it happen. You can boil that down to something I think he was taught as a farm boy. You know, love your neighbor.
Lindsay, thank you so much for sharing your memories and for sharing your dad with us. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Charity.
Lindsay Borg, one of Dean Borg's sons. Dean Borg left behind 5 children, 4 sons and a daughter. He was immensely proud of each one of them. 10 grandchildren as well. And of course, his beloved wife, Sheila. This hour, we are remembering Dean Borg, his life and his legacy. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we are remembering broadcaster Dean Borg. He passed away this week at the age of 81 due to complications of pancreatic cancer. Of course, he was the longtime host of Iowa Press on Iowa PBS. He hosted that program for more than 40 years. He also worked with us here at Iowa Public Radio for 20 years. And he spent many decades working at the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics as the director of public information, very influential in that organization. And this hour, we're talking with people who knew him well. And the next person we're going to talk to is Kay Henderson. She's news director of Radio Iowa. And for 30 years, she did episodes of Iowa Press with Dean Borg. Hello, Kay.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here. And share with us a memory of working with Dean.
Well, everybody uses this word authentic these days to describe an attribute that they want to see in their politicians. Well, I think you could use authentic to describe Dean. He was genuine. He was kind. He was a gentleman. He was really sort of the quintessential Iowan sitting at the Iowa Press table. You could tell by his facial expression whether, you know, what was being said around that table was something to smile about or something to be concerned about. And he would just, there wasn't any artifice about Dean. Dean was Dean when he was on the show, and he was Dean when he was off the show.
Dean was really well-known among all of the broadcasters and journalists that worked with him for being incredibly knowledgeable and well-prepared. I feel like Nobody ever did their homework like Dean did his homework. What was that like to work with him on Iowa Press?
Well, for folks who watch the show, they may not know that before it airs, the folks who will be on it asking questions meet together in a room and sort of hammer out the issues and ideas and questions that the guest or guests should face during, you know, the next half hour of airtime that's being taped. And Dean always brought a notepad full of ideas and contributed to that conversation immensely.
He was also always so kind to other journalists. And these are the stories that are pouring in right now from people. He always had a compliment to share, and it was such a sincere compliment. He also seemed to have a voracious appetite for consuming all of the media available. He would tell me about something he read in the Davenport newspaper and something he read in the Gazette and something he read in the Register, but he was also listening to WMT and WHO and Iowa Public Radio. I honestly didn't know how he listened and consumed so much media, but tell me about that personal side of Dean, because he was such a supportive colleague.
Right. I was just yesterday talking with one of the camera operators out at Iowa PBS, and he was remarking about how lovely Dean was in chatting with the interns that have gone through Iowa PBS over the years. He'd never rushed in and rushed out, spent as much time with them as possible, was interested in their career and their stories and what they hope to do with their career and really be a mentor for them. And of course, I'm one of those people for whom he was a mentor, who got to be mentored by Dean. The first time I was on the show, I had actually been a full-time employee at Radio Iowa for about 4 months. And he couldn't have been more gracious on the program, made me incredibly relaxed to sit at the table as an early 20-something year old and participate in, you know, what many Iowans do on Friday night. They watch that program. Dean was in everybody's homes. When Dean was around the state, people recognized him for good reason, because he was sort of the face and the voice of that program.
How do you want people to remember Dean?
He was kind. He was a gentleman. He loved his family. He was a very good friend. I spent a lovely day in Mount Vernon with him and rode around the town in his red pickup truck. I tweeted about this earlier this week. He couldn't have been more lovely about introducing me to the people that were most important to him. You know, his friends in that town, he loved his wife and he loved his kids.
Kay Henderson, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Kay Henderson, news director of Radio Iowa, and she spent many years working with Dean Borg on Iowa Press, on Iowa PBS. I have a memory here from Claire Roth, who used to work at Iowa Public Radio. She's now a public radio broadcaster in Columbus, Ohio. And she said, I told my mom about Dean's passing last night, and I said, he was so kind to me when I was just starting in my career. And she replied, he was kind to me when I was just starting out in my career, Claire. I hadn't realized that she knew him in the few years she was a radio journalist, but of course it makes sense. And such is Dean's legacy. He touched generations and lit the way. And our next guest is Andrew Bott. He is a senior producer at Iowa PBS, and he worked with Dean on Iowa Press starting in 2011. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Charity.
Thank you so much for being here. And tell me what you recall about working with Dean.
Well, so much about Dean that I can recall. We only have a few minutes, but I really think about, similar to your story you just shared, Dean was really a touchstone to Iowa history. When I started working with Dean, he had been doing the show for well over 3.5 decades. And in his last few years that he did the show, I would often remark to him, you know, look around the studio, look in the control room here at Iowa PBS, and all the people that are now working on this show were born after you started hosting it. And Dean would laugh and, you know, wonder if that's a statement about his age, but it's a statement about his longevity. And there were so many times that we would gather as reporters and producers beforehand, and we would have comments about whether this something in the news or at the State House was unprecedented. And Dean would then share a story And we'd ask, what year was that, Dean? And he'd say, oh, mid-60s. And, you know, there's a lot of reporters today in newsrooms that think the 1990s were a long time ago. So
right.
His longevity and perspective was incredible.
Well, we took full advantage of that here at Iowa Public Radio as well. And anytime we'd come up with an idea for a show that we wanted to do and we didn't know who to talk to and we kind of ran into a dead end, I'd say, you know what, I'm going to call Dean and I'm going to ask him. And so I'd call Dean and I'd ask him and he'd laugh and he'd say, well, I don't know why you'd ask me, but let me think about it. I'll get back to you. And of course, 2 or 3 hours later, he would get back to me and he would have come up with 4 different people with amazing stories that I should talk to. And he would have already called them to give them a heads up that I would be in touch. And that happened again and again. I mean, just his depth of knowledge was incredible. But Andrew, would you talk a little bit about Dean's sense of humor? Because he was such a serious journalist and he did so much serious work, but he really was hilarious.
Oh, Dean was pretty funny. And Dean was the kind of person that he really was kind of always on. He was always as if there was a microphone close by and he was going to report from, you know, the kitchen table, if that was the situation, or the side room conversation. He always seemed like, you know, like our Lindsay Borg had said, he was who he was. And that was pretty present throughout his life. And you kind of get used to Dean being very professional. He always was, but he had a very great dry sense of humor, which a lot is really necessary in a career that's surrounded by a lot of politicians, politics, egos, both in front of the camera, behind the camera, and running for office. And it was always a good balance because you knew Dean was serious, professional, but he could crack a good dry joke every now and then.
Absolutely. And I want to share one of my favorite Dean Borg stories because I think that this, it sums up so much about who he was as a man. And this happened a few years ago. I was working in the newsroom here at Iowa Public Radio, and he came into the office and he said, oh, Charity, I just want to pass along a compliment for you, which was something that he would do all the time, because not only did he give incredibly insightful personal compliments, but he always made sure to tell you if somebody else said something nice about you. And he said that he had talked to an Iowa Public Radio listener who was a big fan of mine. I said, well, that's great. Tell me about it. He said, well, I was driving home from Des Moines today and my phone rang and I picked it up and it was a wrong number. And of course, usually that's the end of a call, right? But Dean always answered the phone, Dean Borg here. And she said, are you the Dean Borg? And he said, yes. And so he had this long conversation with this woman who didn't mean to call him at all. And they talked about his work on television and his work on radio. And she talked about what she liked to listen to. And then she also shared that she was losing her eyesight and was having a hard time because she was increasingly isolated and she couldn't read the newspaper anymore and she couldn't drive anymore. And so Dean shared with her the Iowa Radio Reading Service, IRIS, told her about this wonderful service where people read newspapers to people who are sight impaired or reading impaired in some way. And she said, oh, I'd love to be able to be a part of that. And he said, well, let me take down your information and I will get you one of those radios. And of course, he did it. And this was a wrong number. And it just sums up for me how kind Dean was. And that didn't seem at all unusual to him. But for most people, that was pretty out of the ordinary. So, Andrew, just with about 45 seconds left, sure. What is the one thing you want people to remember about Dean? Or maybe what is the one thing you'll remember as you continue to do your work?
Well, I'll remember Dean's smile, but what I think he would want people to know is his editorial integrity. He talked about it often, but most of the time he didn't have to talk about it. He was a genuine person working in the field of politics every week, which, you know, getting guests on and trying to get genuine answers out of them in a professional manner isn't always the easiest process. And a lot of those conversations behind the scenes, Dean was always professional. But what he always wanted himself and the people around him to know was how important editorial integrity was on a show like Iowa Press. And that's something that was represented every time he was on that program. And, you know, this week on Iowa Press, we're going to devote our whole show to looking back at Dean's life, including him talking about what editorial integrity and those issues mean to him and what he thought they meant to the state of Iowa.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that. Andrew, thank you so much for sharing with us today.
Thank you, Charity.
Andrew Bott, senior producer at Iowa PBS, and he produced Iowa Press with Dean Borg beginning in 2011. Next, we have Pat Blank, Iowa Public Radio's All Things Considered host and reporter. She worked with Dean for 20 years at Iowa Public Radio and was a close, close friend. Hello, Pat.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being with us today. And can you share?
I'm so glad you asked me. Absolutely.
Can you share one of your favorite memories of Dean?
I have so many, and I think mostly is that he always had his gear with him, which meant he always had a recorder, he always had a phone that could take photos, or he had a camera with him. So no matter what, wherever he was, he always had his gear with him. We have a mutual friend up in North Iowa, where we're both from, the Forest City area, Wayne Johnson. He is a farmer. And Dean would often get crop report information from Wayne, because he'd either been home or, you know, we knew that Wayne was a good source. But he said one time, Wayne said that Dean was there and he was flagging him down and he couldn't see exactly who it was, but Dean was in his suit and in his trench coat, and he was worried the entire time he was driving his tractor to Dean, and he thought something terrible had happened, that there was a death in the family or somebody had been seriously injured. But no, it was Dean. He was all dressed for work, and he said, Wayne, could I ride a couple of rounds with you on the combine?
He just seemed to be inexhaustible. He was always working and always on. And, you know, we talked earlier with Lindsay Borg about all of the volunteer work he did, too. I can't tell you how many times I thought, how does this man have this much energy? But, I mean, Pat, he just poured everything into life, didn't he?
Absolutely. Yes.
How do you think about what you've learned from him in your work? I know I'm constantly asking myself, what would Dean Borg do in this situation? I know a lot of us do. So how do you put some of his principles into action?
Well, you know, he really is my compass because just what you said, you know, if I'm ever in doubt about what direction I should go or if I should include something, I really do. I honestly do this, and I did this while he was still alive, and I will do it now until I'm not a journalist anymore. I will pause and think, how would Dean handle this? What would Dean do? Because, you know, he was the best mentor ever.
He, as we've talked about, was also just a really warm, kind man. Tell us more about that side of Dean.
Well, you know, we had friends in common and new family members in common, and you know, he always made sure that if he couldn't get to the funeral of that person or knew someone was ill, that he made sure that they got a card, or he called them personally, or he made sure that he talked to another family member. I mean, he was just, you know, so caring and wonderful in that way also. So, you know, I was ill for a couple of years ago for about 4 months, and he checked in on me often. He wrote me cards. I would see the Mount Vernon address, and I'd know exactly who it was from. So, yeah, that was very wonderful also about him.
Well, Pat, thank you so much for sharing your memories, and I know it's been a hard week for you. Sending
it has,
so
because
much
I keep waiting
you.
When that phone rings. I keep waiting for him to call and say, Pat, Dean Borg.
Right, right. Well, and he called all of us. All the time. Anytime any of us were on the board for the midday shift or on a holiday, the phone would ring and Dean would be there, wouldn't he?
That's right. Absolutely. And I will so miss that. So, but I cherish his memory, obviously.
Yeah, me too. Pat Blank, thank you so much. Pat Blank is the Iowa Public Radio All Things Considered host. She's also, of course, a reporter here at Iowa Public Radio and worked with Dean Borg for 20 years at Iowa Public Radio. We are remembering Dean Borg today. Legendary broadcaster, good friend, and very kind man. He passed away at the age of 81 this week. You're listening to Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Coming up in a few minutes, we will hear from other people who worked with Dean over the years. Dennis Reese at Iowa Public Radio, Michael Bougea, who's a distinguished professor of the Greenlee School of Journalism at Iowa State University, and also from Joe Jennison of Mount Vernon. If you have stories that you would like to share, we'd love to hear from you as well. You can give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. There are so many people who knew and loved Dean Borg that, of course, we weren't able to include all of them in this program. But if you have a memory to share, we would love to hear from you. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. This hour, we're remembering broadcaster Dean Borg. He passed away this week at the age of 81 due to complications of pancreatic cancer. And we're hearing from many of the people who worked with him, many of his friends, family members as well. You're welcome to share your memories. talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org is our email address. And I want to read a couple of emails that we've gotten here. This is from Don Fish in Davenport. He said, I met Dean Borg once, Monday before Election Day, November 1970. I guess that's 50 years ago. I was a college student in Mount Vernon, Iowa. I wanted to go home to Cedar Falls to vote. So I made up a sign that said, home to vote, and went out to Highway 30 to hitchhike home. Very soon, a car pulled up, and it was Dean. I recognized him immediately, and he started interviewing me right away as I got in the car. He thought it was cool I was taking the trouble to go all the way to Cedar Falls just to vote. He took me to the west side of Cedar Rapids and filmed me as I waited for my next ride. That evening on WMT, he ran a short feature on my trip, so Dean Borg put me on TV. This one's from Pete. He says, at a volunteer training session a year and a half ago, I met Dean. This was Miracles in Motion in Swisher, where children with disabilities are given horse riding training. I recognized him on site and by name tag, but I wasn't going to do the celebrity crush thing. He was intent on attending the training. When the session was over, as the sun was going down, I saw him leave in a red pickup truck. As I drove away, I came upon the truck parked at the roadside, halfway in the ditch, no occupant. I thought, has Dean Borg got a flat? Has he gone walking for help? I stopped my vehicle, got out, looked around, heard a shout, hello, and he suddenly appeared across the road, tramping along a fence line through the summer prairie grasses lining the ditch, a big professional camera around his neck. Are you having trouble? I asked. No, no, Dean laughed. The light was perfect. I was just getting a photograph of this farm field. I realized this is a man who appreciates what I might be inclined to take for granted, a summer moment, an incidental farm vista in Iowa, a man giving this moment full attention and making it a little magical. You can also share your memories, talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And next, we're going to hear from Dennis Reese, Iowa Public Radio's midday host, who's had a long relationship with Dean Borg. It all started when a junior high age Dennis in Cedar Falls became a fan of Dean, then a roving reporter on Channel 2.
My memories of Dean go back to the late 60s when WMT-TV in Cedar Rapids, Waterloo, was the station everyone watched for news. And there was a young Dean doing dynamic and energetic stand-up reports as he was out and about. I was a teen, and it got me thinking, I'd like to follow in his footsteps. But can I do it on radio? Because radio was the magic medium for me. Well, then Dean left media just as I began studying it in college, working in radio, eventually ending up at WSUI, now an IPR station. At the control board in Iowa City, for the first time, I was told to put a tape on the Ampex machine and run this short feature called Health Beat from the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics. And by gosh, there was my answer to the question, what happened to Dean? Well, he was working at UIHC in their public information office. So guess who I called right away to introduce myself? Anyway, in the years ahead, Dean was of immense help to me as we arranged various radio interviews with University of Iowa doctors. Their expertise made our station a more valuable resource. And lo and behold, about 20 years later, I was still a happy public radio guy, and the phone rang. It was my friend Dean. He said he'd like to spend the last part of his career in media again. It couldn't have been a better offer for us, a veteran, smart, and seasoned journalist on our public radio airwaves. You got it. Dean came through with flying colors. He didn't want to sit behind his desk. In fact, he was rarely there. He was out and about, covering a factory closing, a flood, the Board of Regents meetings, interviewing farmers and their tractors as they brought the harvest in. That's one of my favorite things he did. Actually, hop in the cab of one of those humongous John Deeres and interview the farmer in the middle of a field. I always enjoyed running into Dean outside the station. One time was especially unexpected. A few years ago, after I fell in a mud puddle near the station and broke my leg, I was in the hospital getting my cast on. And after a while, I looked to my left, and in the bed next to me, also getting a cast on, was none other than Dean. He had also broken his leg. Dean was more surprised than me at his wife Sheila take pictures of the two of us. Since Dean didn't spend a lot of time at his desk, much of my interaction with him was over the phone. If I mentioned on my weather breaks on IPR that Iowa was mostly sunny and pleasant, I could almost count on Dean calling me from a rural stretch of road somewhere and telling me that he just drove through a rain shower. He wasn't criticizing, just trying to be informative. But when the phone rang each day about 12:15 in the control room, I knew who was calling without checking caller ID. Dean would usually say, "Dennis, do you have enough copy for your newscast?" I usually did, thanks in part to him. But really, he just wanted to chat for about 2 minutes. And I also think he just wanted to let me know that he was out there listening. I'll miss Dean's voice. I'll miss his friendship. The world doesn't seem quite right without him.
Dennis Reese of Iowa Public Radio. I want to read another email here. This is from Dean's niece, Jessica. She says, "Dean was an exceptional man, husband, father, grandfather, and professional. He would always be genuinely curious about everyone's lives and eager to listen to their latest interests. I will always recall fond memories of his serious and sometimes quiet nature, which would break into laughter and fun over our cherished memories of sharing Thanksgiving together for many years. He would always create funny moments and silly vignettes that none of us would ever expect. He loved his children and grandchildren so much and was always an amazing partner to my Aunt Sheila. His smile was always twinkling and always made everyone feel welcome. I am grateful for his kind nature to always show care and concern to everyone and always go the extra mile to communicate and stay in touch. He was an amazing gentleman and we will miss him dearly." Let's turn now to Michael Bougea, who is Distinguished Professor of the Greenlee School of Journalism at Iowa State University. And Michael, you were a classmate of Dean's, right?
Yeah, Dean was, I knew Dean in so many different ways. He was our Schwartz Award winner. I knew him as a friend. I knew him as a journalist, and I also knew him as a source for one of his stories. So I actually knew him in several capacities, and he is a beloved friend of mine. I have a few anecdotes I could share, but I can tell you when we first met, we had a discussion about journalism. You know how that goes, Charity.
Yes.
You know, the state of journalism today. And as we talked, you know, I came, my background, for instance, my journalism background started early at Oklahoma State. You would think that Oklahoma State and Iowa State are separated by a great distance and we wouldn't have anything in common, but we did. We had the same mentor, Harry Heath. Harry Heath was a journalism professor at Oklahoma State during the time that Dean was a student at his alma mater. And then Harry went to direct the journalism school at Oklahoma State, where I came and graduated and worked as an assistant professor. And Harry was my mentor, and he also was Dean Borg's mentor. And so Dean and I just waxed philosophic on all the things that Harry Heath had taught us. And from that very moment that we met, oh, about, I guess, 16, 17 years ago, his eyes locked and I locked on his. And there was that certain something, that certain skill that Dean had. It was almost like a Jedi mind trick. You were part of his vision. You were part of his conscience. You were part of his consciousness. Okay. So then, you know, he did so much in his life that distinguished him. He won the Jack Shelley Award, for instance, in 2008, one of the highest awards in broadcast journalism. He won many other awards. So, but we both knew and loved Jack Shelley. And that was another another bond that we had. And he did so much in Iowa Press that we have this Distinguished Service Award to Journalism Mass Communication. And I had put his name in a few times. And then finally in 2016, which it was the year that I believe he retired from Iowa Press, he was the recipient of the James Schwartz Award for Distinguished Service to Journalism and Mass Communication. But then we also had another moment, and this moment was different than any other. We both had, as a dear friend, a professor at Iowa State that many people listening to this broadcast might remember. And that was Barbara Mack, and she was a law professor. She also was the chief counsel, I believe, for the Des Moines Register at one time. And she was my best friend at the Greenlee School. And in 2012, unexpectedly, she passed. And Dean was chosen to do that story about her passing. And he called me up knowing how close I was to Barbara. And he asked me such profound questions. And I realized that all of his questions were directed at my conscience. And he elicited from me compassion. He elicited things in me that I had been holding back and trying to be a professional during a time of grief. And he was professional throughout. And then when the interview ended, he said, "Michael, I just want to thank you for speaking with me so compassionately." And I got to see another trait of Dean Borg, and I wonder how many others who have been part of his broadcasts or who have worked with him or who have been a source for him noticed what I noticed. When his voice alone, but in person his eyes and voice together, evoked in you something that made it impossible for you to lie. It made it impossible for you to falsify or exaggerate. And I think what made him an exceptional journalist in public service is this stellar character in which he not only possessed that conscience that we all wish we could attain, but he evoked it in others. And that's what made his reports so impactful. So those are the many sides of Dean Borg that I could share with your listeners, and so delighted that you had asked me to do this.
Well, Michael, thank you so much for sharing your memories and your thoughts, and I know this is a difficult time for all of us, but thank you for being here.
It was quite an honor. Thank you, Charity. Thank you for all you do, too.
Michael Bouget, a distinguished professor at the Greenlee School of Journalism at Iowa State University. Let's go to the phones. Debbie's on the line in Walford and a new dean for a long time. Hello, Debbie.
Hi, Charity. Yeah, I've known Dean since I was a little girl. We grew up in church together and just a lifelong friend. And everything everybody is saying about him today is just absolutely spot on. It's just so true in every area. I have a lot of funny stories about Dean, but one of them was several years ago, he did something to his shoulder, and I worked on his shoulder and helped him with that. And then he broke his leg, and I helped him with that. But one day, he still had his leg was broken, and he was out having me work on him, and he said, "I had to go over in the field there and interview a farmer." I said, "Why? You've got a cast on your leg. What are you doing that?" I mean, the news, and he was so drawn to the farm all the time, but he always was looking for news. So he was out interviewing this guy as he was on his way to, because I'm completely surrounded by farmland, and so it was just an opportune time for him.
But, yeah, a broken leg wasn't going to keep Dean Borg from getting the story.
No, not at all. No, not at all. But one of my sweetest memories was I always, when I was a little girl, I loved to hear Dean talk. He would always narrate our cantatas at church. And I always joke with him. I said, "I've never heard anybody pronounce God's name like you do."
Oh.
It's like out of a Cecil B. DeMille movie or something, like Moses is speaking. he would just say it in a certain way, and it just brought awe and tingles to your spine.
If Dean Borg said it, it meant even more. Debbie, we need to get to our final guest today, but thank you so much for calling and sharing those memories with us. And our final guest for the day is Joe Jennison, who managed the Mount Vernon Lisbon Community Development Group. Dean was one of his many volunteers there, and Dean was so devoted to Mount Vernon, Iowa. And Joe, thank you so much for being with us. We only have a couple minutes left here. Can you share a Dean memory with us?
Well, absolutely. So Dean, as you said, was one of 508 volunteers that I work with, and he was a very regular volunteer, someone I could always count on. There were a few projects that we worked on together. He was part of the Smithsonian, the Museum on Main, when they came to Mount Vernon, and he was very proud to be a part of that. And also when we did Restaurant Week, that was another one that I remember him being very thorough and meticulous, as I guess we'd all expect him to be when going over a press release or something like that. But my favorite memory of Dean was just the fact, you know, Charity, I've been on your show and I've done plays, a one-man show, and Dean was one of those people that came to almost every one of my performances. He was so moved by the work that I was doing, and I was so honored to know that someone of his stature would have any interest in a tiny little one-man show that I was doing.
And wouldn't just go once, but would go repeatedly to support
and bring
you.
Others yeah. to it. And, you know, over the years I've met his children. He brought his children to my shows. And, you know, 2 years ago here in Mount Vernon, we honored him at what we call our Uptown Theater Honors. This is a small town award show similar to the Kennedy Center Honors, right? And I remember watching from backstage. We had a high school group do a number from Newsies to honor him, and watching him sitting in the audience, smiling ear to ear, watching these kids perform. He was enjoying that so much from where he was, always supportive of Mount Vernon and always supportive of my little organization here that we have, the Mount Vernon Lisbon Community Development Group, and supporting of me as a playwright. He will be greatly missed.
Well, Joe, thank you so much for sharing that with us. And we are out of time today, but it's been wonderful to hear so many memories of Dean Borg. Dean Borg will be remembered for his excellence in journalism. He will be remembered for his journalistic integrity, but he will also be remembered for his personal integrity, for his kindness, for his ability to connect with people, and for going out of his way to make people feel appreciated. That is a tremendous legacy that he leaves. This hour, we've been remembering Dean Borg, who passed away this week at the age of 81. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbie.